two men enter, but only one can be named champion. These men have faces for radio, but do they have the chin to take a punch?
You want me to hit you?
That's right.
What, like in the face?
Surprise me.
This is so stupid.
Anyone can give a hot take. Everyone has an opinion, but can they fight?
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
It's time for the Killer Bees Fight Club. Let's get ready to... Okay, that's Michael Buffer's lawyers. I'm not going to say the line, Michael Buffer lawyers. I'm not going to say the line. You're so strong.
All right, Killer Bees Fight Club bracket continuing. Three more matchups today. Final two in the Ralph Cooper region and the very first one in the Rich Lord region. Our voters are awful, by the way. Brutal. The three results from last Friday's matchup. Booker T, I mean, just a domination. It was a, what do they call them?
Squash match.
Squash match. That's the exact word I was looking for. Thank you, B-Mac. Booker T beat Sean Pendergast 74-26.
As he should, right? I mean, we all figured that was
even with
as expected.
Even with a hobbled knee, I would take Booker T.
Just blowing out these teams in the tournament, like Dan Hurley said. Second matchup of the day, Sports MT defeated Sean Mapes 57-43.
Big problems with this one. Mapes is an athlete, man.
Yeah, I don't think this is how it would go down.
How many messages that were directly sent to very loyal people of the 10,000 you think got involved? Because I think it was heavy.
If that's happening, I'm all for it.
It's happening.
I'm all for it. Give me those impressions. Give me those engagements. People throw around that engagement farming like it's a bad thing. I'm leaning into it. Yeah, I'm engagement farming. They're paying me money. Of course I'm engagement farming.
You're an influencer. Of course
you are. I'm an influencer. Yes, people, you're engagement farming. That is absolutely right, sir. You're using it like an insult. I see you just calling a spade a spade. So if he's doing that, awesome. I have had multiple people in this bracket outside of the station reach out to me.
I bet.
I have.
I have too.
I have. So it is something that has caught eyeballs. So, hey, engagement farming, very well. The final matchup of the Fridays, this is where you guys have lost your minds. John Lopez defeats me, Branham, 53%-47%. I have been eliminated in the biggest upset in the Killer Bee Fight Club bracket tournament in history.
You couldn't even take down Lopez?
I had nothing to do with it. It's in the hands of the voters.
I really don't buy this.
It's in the hand. I kind of like that I lost.
Yeah, I really would love to be out of this thing.
Actually, I did
want to
win.
People care way too much about this and take it too literally.
I did want to win this one, actually, and then I wanted to take a dive for Booker. It would be more honorable if I lost to Booker T than John Lopez.
Are you wanting to be out of it so you don't have to hear arguments against yourself? Is that it?
No. I think it's more fun if we're not involved. But it was hard to get to 32 like without us.
Yeah, that would be pretty hard, yeah. We'd have to start involving people that are barely on air.
I think it's better if we weren't in it, but we had to be. Now, I did want to beat Lopez. I'm not going to lie about that. You know, that's a turf war there. Because I grew up in Humble. He's in Atascocita. That's a turf war.
I mean, I said on the show I thought Lopez was going to win this, so I can't
say
I'm a little surprised. I'm not surprised.
I lose. So let's set up today's matchups. We got three in all. The first one we're getting to, Paul Gallant and Brandon Scott, a Sports Radio 610. Who's arguing who here?
So I'm going to go ahead and let Jeremy argue for B. Scott, since I think you guys might have crossed over more than Joel has crossed over
with
him.
Brandon.
And that way, that would mean, obviously, Joel will argue for Paul Gallant.
Okay. Blankers, go ahead.
I mean, this is a no-brainer, right? I mean, there's no one that can tell you, well, there's only one person that can tell you more about Paul probably than me, and that's Paul. And Paul would be blowing his own horn to the levels of unbelievable decibels. All district safety, wherever he played. I mean, this guy's athletic. This guy is completely in the mix. He's scrappy. He's temperamental. He likes to get after it. There's no doubt in my mind that he is going to be vicious, dirty. He's from Boston, so you know he cheats. And because he loves the Patriots, he'll cheat even more. He's going to go by any means necessary to make sure he wins so he can talk about it on the show. So, therefore, there's no doubt he's going to win.
Where did Paul grow up?
He grew up actually in Florida. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, we grew up in Massachusetts High School in Florida.
Yeah. How nice were the houses he lived in growing up?
No idea.
I think it was pretty.
Was it?
I think so.
You call him soft?
I think it was pretty ritzy. So, Paul grew up as a... How would we say it?
A have versus the have-nots?
Pampered?
Silver spoon.
Silver Spoon?
Silver Spoon. Okay. I actually don't know this 100% to be the case, but I'm going with it.
Wild stabs.
I'm going with it. Yeah, Paul grew up with a silver spoon. You know where Brandon grew up? In the mean streets of Houston. I rest my case.
And Beaumont.
I rest my case. Rest my case. I don't need to say more than one sentence. Paul, Silver Spoon, Brandon Scott, mean streets of Houston. This only goes one way. Brian?
I'm going to have to unfortunately disagree with you here, Jeremy, because from B. Scott's own words, he actually is one of the people that tweeted about this and said, if I can't get Paul in the first 30 seconds, then I'm done for.
See, so I read that as confidence he gets it done in 30 seconds.
I don't know, Paul.
I read that as confidence.
Paul's an all-district safety. He's got a little bit of a temper. This means, like the SEC, this just means more to Paul, and I think Paul is going to come out with a fury, and he's going to last past the 30 seconds, and B. Scott, by his own admission, is going to run out of gas.
I read that differently.
Is there anybody? And this is a tough question based on what we've had off the air from people. Is there anybody in this entire bracket that cares more about winning this thing, at least winning each individual fight, than Paul?
Maybe
is
you.
There anyone?
Maybe.
No, I don't care. I want out in the worst way.
Maybe you.
Nope.
I think Clayton would have been offended if he lost, he would have been offended if he lost in round one to Creighton.
Yeah.
I could see Clayton caring.
You're probably right. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'll give you that, Dub. All right.
10-9, though, for Gallant.
All right. Next one we have, the final matchup in the Ralph Cooper region. We have from the Highway to Hell, Sean Bajani versus my colleague, the great Joel Blank. I'm arguing for Blank.
I think for show team content, you're arguing for Blank. And
I said last Friday, Blankers would never punch somebody, so this might not go well.
We did let Joel argue for you on Friday. So
I'll argue for Blankers. Blankers works out daily. He's got muscles on muscles. He's strong as a bulldog. He's a former college athlete, even though it's Wisconsin. So he's bigger. He's taller. Not sure he has the reach advantage, but he's got the sage wisdom. He's smarter. He's stronger. I think he's a little bit faster than Bajani, even at a more advanced age. Blankers is going to take this one down.
Joel?
My man Sean Bajani is one of the nicest dudes around.
He is
a phenomenal guy, and he's a dear friend.
That's not really he's arguing for him.
He's in great shape. He's athletic. He loves sports. He coaches sports. He loves to be around sports. I think that, you know, if there's a guy that's going to be, like, using his speed to, like, dance around and stay kind of out of the ground game, Bajani's got the chance to do that. I think he's got sneaky strength, too. And I would give him the chance to actually stay in this thing for a long time by extending the fight.
I want you to win this badly.
This is a tough one.
You're the last hope we got.
Good.
Well, Brian, too.
Gallant's in the... Oh, you talk about from this show. Yeah. So I'm gonna go. Look, I think if Joel can catch him, he wins the fight. But I'm gonna go with Bajani 10-9 on the scorecards
for
the stamina reasons that Joel mentioned. He's gonna stay on the outside.
Blankers
work the
does
jab.
Cardio. Blankers does more cardio than Bajani.
Bajani's in great shape, man.
Actually, Bajani ran a
great
marathon.
Shape.
So
did he really?
Yeah, I think he ran
the
Houston. Maybe
good
half marathon.
Him. Oh, the half.
Yeah,
maybe
I know.
The half.
I think his wife does, too.
Yeah, the poor guy ran 13.1 miles. He doesn't have the cardio advantage.
The only person that might have a chance as far as just pure stamina athlete against Bajani would be Paul Gallant. So that would be an interesting matchup in the next
this
round.
I think this was one of the best matchups from an athletic standpoint.
Because
sure. Bajani, you're right, Bajani is an athlete.
And he loves baseball, too, man.
I don't know how that helps in a fight.
I'm saying just from an athletic perspective, like, he still plays in the, I don't know how old he is now, but he plays in an adult baseball league.
Does he really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't know he and Mandy, like, they're both in great shape.
I went out and watched
his wife's run marathons, too.
Has she?
I believe so.
I went out. It makes me feel like such an underachiever, but I'm anti-exercise. I went out and watched an adult baseball league once, and, like, you have...
What,
like,
just on a whim?
Like, guys, you have guys that...
Wait, hold on.
I think, no, it was a buddy. I had a buddy.
Okay.
So you have guys that look like good. You and me, right, that are playing ball in front of, like, three people and their dogs. I realized in that moment that I do not have a love of the game like those people do.
No.
If you're playing these little baseball leagues that, like, you can't even really swing and run, and you're facing pitchers who are throwing 67-mile-per-hour fastballs with Uncle Charlie's that don't move,
you're
out in all this gear. And I saw one of the catchers have a scouting report on the other pitch, like, with his pitchers. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? This is, like, the lowest level of adult league baseball ever. I realized in that moment I don't love sports nearly as much as these
What's
guys.
What's the Jay guy that pissed everybody off in Houston that used to be on ESPN, that cold
Jay
pizza
Williams?
Show? And no, and then he was in. Now he's in Ohio. Remember,
I know exactly who you're talking about.
About pumping in the crowd noise for the Texans.
Jay Crawford.
There
Jay
you go.
Crawford.
And someone started sending me this. Goes, you got to kill this guy on air. He still plays adult baseball and he takes it seriously. I'm like, what? And then there were videos all over of him like playing serious adult baseball. I'm like, never. Like my landscape guy, and he has a team.
What's his name?
Sergio. And Sergio He's done some homework and whatever, and so he starts telling me one day, hey, I need you to pitch. I'm like, no chance. He's like, I'll give you like a couple of weeks. You can get your arm back, and I just need you to pitch for me. I go, let me just explain something to you real quick. I enjoy being able to use my left arm at a pretty good clip for everything I need, and you know, and I have access to both arms and limbs. If I tried to pitch for you even 3 weeks from now, the chances of something going really wrong and me losing the ability to use a lot of my left arm, it's probably going to happen, and I don't want that.
So it's one breaking pinch, and you're Lance McCullers? Is that what's happening here?
Probably.
Every time I go to grab, like, something, the remote, when I'm sitting on the couch watching a game, my shoulder, my rotator cuff, sounds like someone's picking a lock. Mm. It just feels like, click. I'm like, yeah, no.
I love sports. I know you love sports.
Yes.
Our lives are around sports. We make a living because of sports. I do not love playing sports anymore. Those guys do.
Yeah, I do.
I don't. But I have zero desire to play sports again. Zero desire. Like, I like to golf or whatever. But to have, like, a scouting report on the other team's pitchers, I don't have a love to play the game anymore.
Competitively.
I don't have a love to play the game anymore.
Competitively, though.
Period.
See,
Okay, let's say 10 years from now, your son's what, two?
Yeah, but that's more because of him. No,
sure.
He's not two. He's about to be. I guess it's not as egregious as he'll be two in August, yeah.
Okay, I guess that's not about it. You play in the front yard in the driveway with them, right? You're just talking.
No,
competitive.
Sure. I'm talking competitive.
Okay.
But still, I'm not doing that for me.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm doing that because I love him, and if he has that desire, I'll do anything for him.
Right.
I'm coaching my daughter's softball team, and I as long as she wants to play, and I'll pitch to her, and you know, not hit grounders, whatever. But like, Jeremy and I were challenged by King of Twitch a while back when we were going to the Space Cowboys game or something, that we could throw a ball from the mound to over the center field wall, like Trevor Bauer.
I think I remember that.
And
yeah.
So she had practice one night. She practices where the varsity field is right behind it. And I went out there, and there was a bucket of ball. And I started loosening up my arm a little bit, and I just kind of three-quarters way, and I was like, oh, it's getting pretty far. And then I decided to crow hop and let one fly and went, you know what? Don't care what the bet is. Yeah. Don't care what I'd win if I do it. I ain't going to try it, and I'm not pushing it any further.
Blankers are saying no mas.
Yeah, no.
Landscaper,
you're
Sergio.
Did you make it over the wall when you put full effort in?
I didn't put 100% full effort in. I made the warning track with a crow hop and a pretty good throw on it. And I'm like, you know, if I kept working, I go, nope. Mm-mm. Because the last time I did this, I was in the field with my dogs throwing the hard rubber ball.
Right.
And just went to really make them run for one and basically didn't use my left arm for much for about 2 weeks. I'm like, no, I'm not doing it.
Was it a Kong?
No, they make the. It was almost like one of those field lacrosse balls that are like hard rubber, but they bounce a little bit. And the dog can't chew it up, and like tennis balls, they'll shred it. And so it goes away. And I just threw it, and I went, oh, my God, that didn't feel good.
Yeah. Let's get to the final matchup of the day. It's in the Rich Lord region, the first matchup in the Rich Lord region. It features Chris Gordy from the flagship against our very own, the talented Brian McDonald. We'll let – who's arguing for Brian here? This kind of throws a wrinkle into how we do things.
I think we keep it as you guys arguing.
Okay, so arguing for Brian. You're arguing for Gordy?
Here's the guy that is as good on the air as he is when he follows LSU and – he loved, I mean, the fact that he's such an SEC guy, I just think that Chris Gordy's the kind of guy that he's not going to lose to anybody. He's going to make parody songs and tell you just how strong he is.
I'm not sure that was nice.
I don't care.
You care when people are not nice to you.
Yeah, because the people I care about being not nice to me.
You're not following the golden rule.
That was a mean tweet.
You created
in audio
this
version.
Monster. I'm playing along.
Fair enough. Okay. I think Brian, love Chris Gordy. I think Brian got a cupcake in round one.
Thank you.
Like, you had to deal with an athlete, one of the better athletes in this bracket.
Wait, you think B-Mac's going to crush Gordy?
I think he got one of the weaker contestants in the Killer Bee Fight Club
bracket.
That
doesn't mean you think he's going to crush him.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
Brian.
I'm curious.
I think Brian is a better like, if we're talking strictly fighting here, I think Brian has an advantage in everything that Gordy does. Like, he's bigger.
Talk on air?
What? Well, it's not a fight.
Oh,
Blankers, saying things that aren't part of
any
fighting.
Any fight starts out in argument.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
So whenever Mike Tyson goes into the boxing ring to fight somebody else, he starts chatting.
We don't have a ring and a referee. We have maybe a car.
Well, there is the press.
I think you're
maybe
taking this.
There is the press conference.
It's weird
store.
Because you're taking this very literal, but also not very literal. Like, it depends on the sentence, I guess.
I'm having fun with it.
No, that's how you should. But Brian, I think Brian, like Chris Gordy and Brian to me are the same guy, but Brian's a little bit better in every avenue of fighting. He's taller, he's bigger, he's got more reach. I don't know if he's as good an athlete. I would say they're at worst on par, and he's got the size advantage. So I'm going with Brian. I think Brian advances here in the first round of the Lord region.
I mean, clearly I win in a knockout. Stoppage. Yeah.
Gordy's got stoppage.
His two favorite teams, LSU and Kentucky.
Not sure that matters in a fight.
But it does, because he learns tactical, you know, athletic things from such talented and athletic universities. And I think he'll use that to his advantage.
There you go. All right, you can vote on the first matchup. We'll send them out here in the next. We'll send another one out at the bottom of the hour and top of the hour. The one that you can vote on right now, though, is the Paul Gallant Brandon Scott matchup.
You have an update on that one. What's the early results here?
Let me pull that up real quick.
BMAC rides scooters inside Walmart.
What does that mean? Who said that?
Poncho.
Paul has the early.
We all have options, Poncho. If he wants to use a scooter, so
I mean,
what?
If it's there, why not?
He's got a lot of stuff to get.
Hey,
come on,
man.
He might be there a while.
I'd do it.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it's probably
it
efficient.
Fun.
Paul would do it.
Save time, right?
Paul would do it with sunglasses on.
If we did it, do you think we would get looks? Should we do this as a bit?
I think if you're under, what age do you have to be over before you stop getting judged for it?
Oh, there's a lot of people that'll judge you immediately.
Like, but
you
if, you're
are
like,
younger.
If you're like
Jeremy's
over,
point is right.
If you're over 70,
if
no
you're
judgment.
Younger and you don't have a cast or some kind of kind of brace on, people are going to give you the stink eye.
We need to do this as a bit for real. Like, it'd be great for social. And then we need to do the Subway, buy a bag of chips, see if you get a funny look from the cashier. Paul Gallant's leading Brandon Scott right now, 53-47.
Oh, a little
so
bit closer.
Close
yeah, a little bit closer than I was expecting.
Close vote right now. Call me crazy. But there was a big contract in baseball today. Ezekiel Tovar, I think that's how you pronounce it. He got signed to an extension by the Colorado Rockies. 7 years. I saw two different this 7 years, 63.5. I saw 8 for 84. So it could be either one of those two. They probably have an option on it. I would give this contract right now to two different Houston Astros. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. So you're in a little bit of a quandary right now, right? You didn't mow the yard because you were watching basketball all weekend. I ain't mad at you. I don't mind that at all. But now there's some rain, right? So now you don't want to mow because you're going to leave tire marks everywhere. It's really a difficult spot to be. Well, you can eliminate that difficult spot with Sinlawn. That's right. Get some Sinlawn in your life and you never have to mow again. You're wasting all this time you'd rather be doing other things, dealing with your yard, the grass that's now wet and muddy, the weeds, the dead spots. You don't want to do that. Well, stop, because Sinlawn is here to get your weekends back. Sinlawn's the evolution story of the AstroTurf that was made popular by the Astrodome. That's pretty cool. And now Sinlawn, S-Y-N, Sinlawn, wants to improve your lifestyle. Stop mowing the grass when it's wet. Stop mowing the grass when you'd rather be watching sports. Stop pulling weeds. Stop throwing money into an ugly yard that you don't want people to see. Sinlawn artificial grass is the best in the market, too. Their people are fantastic. They're there with you throughout the entire process. They care about you. Sinlawn also offers a lifetime warranty and products that are made right here in the USA. Fully insured, fully bonded. Also, they have their own in-house crews and don't contract anything out. How many big companies do that, that they have their own in-house crews? Usually, they contract out everything. Not Sinlawn. They're going to do it all for you. Sinlawn's number one priority is making their customers happy. Sinlawn's perfect for your yard, whether it's for the patio. Maybe you have a playground for the kids. It's perfect for that. Maybe you have putts on day or pets where, you know, days like today, they're out there running in that wet grass, and now they're bringing it into your house, maybe on the carpet, making things a big mess. Well, get Sinlawn so you can stop doing that. Also, their putting greens are fantastic. Awesome. Head to 975sinlawn.com to learn more. That's 975sinlawn.com, 975sinlawn.com to get started on the yard of your dream. Sinlawn, control the process from yarn to yard.
listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
John Branham. Ezekiel Tovar, is that how you pronounce it? Shortstop for the Rockies. He signed an extension today. 7 years, 63 and a half. You put this in here, Brian? I saw 8 for 84. Is there some sort of option, I guess?
Yeah, no, that's I just went to his Spotrac page, and that's what it had. So I guess there's conflicting reports or someone has wrong information. I'm not sure.
I'm not happy with Spotrac, by the way.
Just because they didn't respond to your email?
They think they're big league in the
beast. Oh, yeah, I tried to back you up and try.
Yeah, so I tweet at him.
Yeah, I tried to tweet at him, too.
Yeah, I actually wrote them a handwritten letter. No, I didn't do that. But I did email their contact us, like a true Karen. And they didn't respond. They're big leaguing the Killer Bees. They're big leaguing us. I'm not very happy with Spotrac, but I can't quit them. Anyways, Tovar signed this deal. This says 7 years, 63 and a half. I saw 8 years, 84 reported, so whatever, somewhere around there. Let's go with the 8 years, 84, though, because it's a little bit over $10 million per year. I would give two Houston Astros this contract right now. You guys know me. I have a tell, so you probably can guess which two I would give it to. Mm-hmm. Who would I give it to?
Jeremy Peña.
Jeremy Peña's one. Yep.
Yiner.
Yep. I would give them to both of those guys right now. Just go ahead and lock them up.
You know of the two that, well, I shouldn't say that.
Here's why you do it, because they're cheaper the earlier you do it. Mm-hmm. We get mad, or we don't, but fans get mad when these players leave in free agency. Carlos Correa leaves. Oh, pay the man. Oh, it turned out it was wise to not do it. Look how they set up Alex Bregman. Like they gave Alex Bregman a pretty good deal. It wasn't super team friendly, like as it turned out, like as you thought it was when you signed it. But it's going to turn out to be more team friendly than player friendly. And Bregman's going to hit free agency when he's 30, as opposed to 26, 27. Perfect time to do that. They were able to do it with Yordan Alvarez, where you signed him early, you extend him. Whereas Kyle Tucker, they couldn't do that, and he's probably going to leave in free agency. The earlier you can get these things done, you do them. The danger is they don't live up to the contract. Right. That's the danger. But the reward is you get them for their prime years at a cheaper cost. And I'm willing to take that risk for that reward. And you also look at what these player like positions have gone for in free agency this year. Do you think Mitch Garver is a better player than Yiner Diaz?
No.
I don't. Mitch Garver got a $24 million two-year deal this year. That's $12 million AAV. You tell me I can get Yiner at $10 million for eight? Cool. I'm doing that. If you look at the shortstops, and there weren't really great shortstops in the market this year like there have been in recent years, the highest paid shortstop this year is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who really is more of a bench guy, I think. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who's really good on the bench. You have him on the bench, very valuable, can play multiple positions, almost every position, actually came up as a catcher. Guess how much he got paid AAV?
11.
No, that's high.
Really?
I mean, he got 7.5.
Oh, right now?
He got 7.5
I thought when
this
you were
year.
Saying when he was coming up, when they if they
no,
locked
no. So
him
he
up.
Got 7.5 this year. He got $15 million deal for 2 years, $7.5 million. Jeremy Peña is a better player right now than Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and this is before Jeremy Peña has really learned how to hit. And even if Jeremy Peña doesn't learn how to hit, if Jeremy Peña right now is a free agent, he gets $10 million a year easy. Easy. He probably gets 12 to 15 did, million did, because of his defense alone.
IKF Mets?
The Blue Jays.
Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
that's the biggest thing. Look, I think this is what Dana Brown in part was brought in for, right? This was kind of what he was known for when he was with Atlanta, is finding the young talent, locking them up before they hit free agency, making sure you got cornerstones, pillars, and guys that are going to be part of the long-term big picture future of your squad. If he truly has, you know, a talent for being able to do that, and he did it in Atlanta and you expect him to do it here, then you expect to be able to take out the one worry and concern that I would have, which is exactly what you mentioned, which is giving these guys these contracts and then all of a sudden realizing they crap the bed, they're not worth anywhere close to it, and now you're out literally left holding the bag and giving it out going, now what do we do? And it's not like you're a small market team where it could actually paralyze you, but it ain't great because all it takes, as we've been talking about when we want to keep the window open for as long as we can, is one bad deal, whether it's a bad free agency deal, whether it's a bad deal where you lock up a guy too long at too much money, and to really kind of screw you over.
But this is where your scouting comes into play.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, you should have an eye for that. Like, if you're a good evaluator of talent, mm-hmm. you should be able to make this call now. And if you can save money in the long term and keep a player here long term that's good, for longer than he would have if you didn't give him the extension, it makes perfect sense. So it comes down to evaluation of the player. Jeremy Pena is a big league shortstop. Jeremy Pena is an above average big league shortstop. If Jeremy Pena can combine some of his offensive power in his rookie year and some of his play discipline in his sophomore year, I think Jeremy Pena is a top 10-12 shortstop in baseball. And a top 10-12 shortstop in baseball is going to make $20 million a year. That's why I would sign up Jeremy Pena early. Yiner Diaz doesn't have the plate appearances that you would like love to do it this quickly because he was a part-time player last year. He played pretty permanently whenever Yordan was on the IL and he handled his own, was really good offensively. But I would go ahead and do it too. Like, I have faith that Jeremy Pena over the next 8 years is going to be just fine. We could argue about how good he's going to be, but I think Jeremy Pena right now in free agency is $12, $15 million a year player. I think Yiner Diaz, if he hit the open market right now, what is the most that Yiner Diaz gets? I think he gets $12, $15 million a year.
Yeah, he gets I don't think he gets J-Rod money. I think he gets more the money of the kid that signed the deal in Milwaukee.
Probably.
The center fielder.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
They got that kind of money. But at the same time, when you look at it, look, this is what I was getting at. Like, it's not just Dana Brown. It's Dana Brown, his system, his staff, people that he brought with him and he hired once he took over the GM job. This is supposed to be his specialty. This is where he makes his money and it's his bread and butter. He's seen enough of Pena. Of the two guys, the one guy that obviously we all hope and don't think that this is going to happen, but that you would worry more about is Yiner because of the fact that we haven't seen enough. And in the playoffs, we hardly saw any of him, and we know he was a part-time player last year, as opposed to a guy like Pena that proved it on the biggest stage. And as much as people were expecting that to continue, and when it didn't, they wanted to crap on him. The fact is that he is an above-average shortstop in Major League Baseball. I could see them wrapping him up.
We might get something to say.
I'm absolutely with the idea of this for Yiner Diaz, even though he has fewer, plate appearances, fewer at-bats. I just don't love the... I get the idea of on the open market, Jeremy Pena could get this sort of AAV. I guess where I push back is the years. Like, because some of the guys you've mentioned, like you said, 2-year deals, 3-year deals, and now we're talking about 7 or 8 years. And I push back on that not only because I don't believe Jeremy Pena showed anything that would be worthy of those stats or worthy of that contract last season, but also look at the Astros roster, depending on who leaves this team, specifically, obviously, Kyle Tucker. You're going to have some spots open up. Shortstop might be a position where you look to improve. Maybe it's through, calling someone up from the minors, although that guy's not close to the majors right now. Maybe it's through free agency, but I still view Pena as a plus enough bat to lock up for 7-8 years.
Yeah, I don't know how you're really upgrading over Jeremy Pena. One in the minor league system is even close.
Yeah, I said, look, again, we're talking potentially 7-8 years down the road. That's why I'm leaving it open to the possibility if that more likely it's free agency. But
yeah, but even in free agency, the best shortstop this year, if you're just going on salary, was Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
No, like, Jeremy.
There's
Pena
not a starting shortstop in free agency. The next guy's Tim Anderson, who's coming off the worst year of his career. Then you have like Kike Hernandez, Brandon Crawford.
Right, we're talking about this year's class, though. We don't know what will be the class, in the following year.
Now, the class you had last year, but again, this is now a different conversation. Trey Turner. You're going to pay $300 million for 11 years of Trey Turner. Xander Bogaerts got $280 for 11. Correa got $200 for 6. Dansby got $177 for 7. Like, I think that Dansby Swanson's like should be the plight for Jeremy Pena, a guy who came up early, was more defensive than offensive, and then Dansby's turned into a good offensive player. But
yeah,
I don't see
certainly shown more power than Pena has.
But you're not going to. My point though is that Crane's not giving any of these contracts out.
Well, I guess that's a different conversation.
That's why I said it flips the conversation.
If we're factoring in what Crane is likely to do, then maybe that boxes you into the idea of you having to stick with Pena. I haven't seen anything from Pena outside of October of 2022, and then the first month of his rookie season where he's proven to be the type of offensive player that I'd want to lock up for 7-8 years.
To me, it's not just about the offense, though. It's about the complete player. Jeremy Pena's won a gold glove and has proven to be one of the best defensive shortstops in baseball. Like, he's a top 5 defensive shortstop in baseball at a premium defensive position. Whatever he gives you offensively is 100% bonus.
And that has value, but this kind of goes back to, the overall roster build. Like, going back to a shortstop the Astros had in the past that was all defense, no bat, with Adam Everett, it was fine in 2004 when you had Jeff Kent and you had all these guys in Carlos Beltran and a lot of offense around them that could absorb that automatic out in the lineup. But as the roster or the makeup of the roster changes over the years, let's say Kyle Tucker leaves, maybe I'm not sure who else would leave, but maybe you need more offense from the shortstop position, then suddenly you're not able to absorb maybe the minus that Jeremy Pena is at the plate.
See, and I'm not saying that you are thinking like Astros fans that were so spoiled about what he did in the playoffs a couple years ago that they just assumed that was going to be the progression for the rest of his career. But because you saw that, because fans kind of get biased by that, thinking this is who he's going to be, they also forget that, yeah, there's been shortstops that like go over the top with numbers and things like that. But the fact that he brings the glove, he brings the defense, he brings certain things to the table, and you don't know how good he can be. I don't think it's fair to expect him to be like he was in the playoffs in the World Series a couple years ago, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities like we saw with some of the things, and we'll see how it translates to this year, shortening his swing, not swinging for the fence as much, trying to go the other way, do some things, be able to hit the breaking ball better. That he could get better. He could find a happy medium somewhere between the two.
See, I think he's going to take bigger swings and look for launch than anything else. But I think what, one thing, yeah, I think what you're overstating though, Brian, is the offense at the position. Like, you take away some of those top few names that we mentioned, there's not a lot of good offensive shortstops.
Yeah, maybe I'm too far deep into the fantasy baseball realm to, and that's clouded my judgment. I think the overall thing that's the main obstacle for me is 8 years. Like, if you're talking,
I'm with
about,
you on the years. The years is fair.
If you're talking about buying out his arbitration,
maybe you go six. Now Tovar is younger than Pena, and I guess he came up around the same time. I don't know.
So Pena would what, have 4 seasons left before he hits the open market?
This will be his third, so he'll have 3 more years after this.
Yeah, so I would be willing to buy out those years, mm-hmm. so this year and then 3 more, total of 4.
Well, you want to buy out some of his free agent years. That's okay, the purpose of these contracts.
I'm completely unwilling to go to 7 or 8. Like, if you want to talk about 5 or 6, then maybe I have that conversation. But once you get into the 7-8 realm, it feels like you're possibly throwing away money.
What did I say Connor Falefa was getting? 7.5?
7.5.
IKF has never had a year offensively.
He has
ever,
no power. I know that.
With an OPS over 700. His entire career, you know, he's never had an OPS over 700. He's getting 7.5 AAV. He doesn't have the defensive prowess that Jeremy Pena has. In both of Jeremy Pena's seasons, he was over a 700 OPS. He was 715 in his first year.
705 last year.
That's 2 years. In his first 2 years, over 700, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who's been in the bigs for 6 years, has never done it in his life, doesn't have the defensive chops as Jeremy Pena, and is getting 7.5 a year. You're telling me that Jeremy Pena is not a $10 million dollar shortstop?
No,
you're crazy.
Of course he is.
Now, the years is your point.
The years is my point, and I'm not making a pro Isaiah Kiner-Falefa argument. I'm never arguing for his case.
What do you think that Pena would get in the open market right now?
I think you're right. I think he'd get between 8 to 10.
I think he gets 15.
Well, 15 feels – I could see him getting up to 12. 15 feels like a reach. My main sticking point is the years. I would be completely unwilling to go to 7 or 8 years.
I mean, I think when you guys are having the conversation too, because to my point, I don't think that I think the days of like the Cal Ripken Juniors and the A-Rods and the big hitting, big dominant shortstops that offensively do a lot of things too. Just off the top of my head, I'm thinking Xander Bogaerts is a good offensive hitting shortstop, one of the better offensive hitting shortstops in baseball. Who else are we missing? Because the Yankees don't have one. The Red Sox don't have one. The Padres don't have one. The Dodgers don't have one. Even if Mookie plays shortstop, Mookie's not a power-hitting, big slugging.
Come on.
Depending on the video.
Come on. Come on. You can't put down Mookie's offensive prowess.
No, but
I can't
Mookie's
let you
not
say
a free.
That.
Mookie's close. If his video coordinator stays, maybe he'll be better.
But Mookie Betts is one of the best offensive players
year.
In baseball.
He's a good offensive. He's an above average offensive player.
No, above average?
Year.
He's great.
He had 30 plus last
he's
year.
He's a great offensive player.
But he's not playing shortstop.
He is this year.
They've been moving him around. He's been second, short. But Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, who else?
Who else is a good shortstop?
No, that's an above average offensive hitting shortstop, like one of the better hitters in baseball. Or
Seager, Turner.
Yeah. Seager for sure, you're right.
Turner.
Seager,
but I mean, Trey after Turner. The top
handful,
four or five
right?
guys,
yeah.
you have a huge drop-off.
That's why I think Pena, to the point we're making, we're all kind of in the realm.
Yeah.
Ceiling is the way tip-top 15, but at the low spot, he's making more than 10.
I think we would have a happy medium, locking him now, $12 million AAV 6 years.
Yeah,
you buy out a couple of years of the free. You buy
salaries
out two
are only
free
going up. You probably by the end of it, you're probably catching a bargain no matter what he's doing.
And you're buying out his two free agent years.
That is a good point that Joel makes, because by the time you get to the end of it, that is even becoming probably is on the low side for mm-hmm. a starting caliber player.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Time for our Mailbag Monday. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. I've been telling you for a while now that Gentle Ben is the best, and make this year the year where you get Gentle Ben into your life. Why not? It all starts with the finest ingredients and classic, time-honored distilling methods. Gentle Ben uses their innovative process that removes the harshness that's found in most spirits. The result is unparalleled smoothness and an enjoyable drinking experience. You get all the flavor, none of the burn. You'll love what's not in it, including undesirable acids. These acids take the enjoyment out of your drinks. Well, Gentle Ben gets rid of the undesirable acids so you can enjoy. Gentle Ben offers vodka, gin, straight bourbon whiskey, cask strength bourbon. All are fantastic, all in my rotation. Look for Gentle Ben at the liquor store. Whatever's on the way home, pick up a bottle today. Next time you head to dinner, go to your favorite bar, ask for Gentle Ben. If you're looking for plans, how about you go to the Gentle Ben Tasting Room in Alvin? Great spot to have a drink. Gentle Ben's inside of Minute Maid Park and sits inside Toyota Center. You're going to either places for the Astro game, Rockets game, maybe a concert. Stop by the Ben's Bar at either locale and pick up some Gentle Ben on the way to your seats. And now getting Gentle Ben is easier than ever. You can just go straight to the website, gentleben.com. Learn about the incredible legacy and story of Gentle Ben and order some Gentle Ben straight from the website, gentleben.com. Gentle Ben, smoothest, honest.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
Question for the Killer Bees, 713-780-3776. Our Mailbag Monday, 713-780-3776. What is your question for the Bees? 3367, in regards to early contracts for Astro players, it's smart to spend that kind of money so early in a player's career. Isn't that a little too risky? Or has it been done in the past with other players and other organizations that had positive outcomes? There is risk to it. There's also great reward. The reward is you get these players for more of the prime of their career at a lower AAV. The risk is if they don't materialize to the player you think they're going to be, now you're overpaying a mediocre guy, but you're overpaying a mediocre guy with a more manageable contract. It's been done a lot in Major League Baseball. It's a huge trend. Some of these teams are locking up prospects before they even play in a game.
Yep.
The Astros have done it. The Astros did it with Yordan. They've done it with Christian Javier. They tried to do it with Springer. He turned them down. They did it with Jose Altuve. They did it with Alex Bregman. They did it with Lance McCullers. The Astros have done it a lot. The one where they missed, per se, was they gave one of these deals to Singleton.
Ten years, $10 mil.
But whatever. That's right. $1 million a year. Like this, the benefits you got on the return of investment on all of the other players make the Singleton $1 million a year for 8 years. Piece of cake for 10 years, whatever
I mean,
it was.
That was so affordable that I think the deal was made. I think it was Luno that made it at the time, or whoever made it at the time. It was basically like, even if we miss, it's not like we're breaking the bank and losing $200 million over, you know, 7 to 10 years, where you look at what J-Rod got. The other one that backfired, and there's nothing you could do to, well, maybe there is a little bit of due diligence, but the Tampa deal with the shortstop.
Yeah, that's not production. That's not, more the guy was a creep just, off the field. But, and I think you get out of that because of his actions. I don't think you have to pay it now.
It'd be interesting to see.
Because I think it's a breach of contract.
But that the only reason I say the due diligence, because we've talked about it so much, about you got to know guys back, Deshaun and, you know, Osuna, and everybody said we did our due diligence. Well, you got to do some due diligence on that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah, Acuna was somebody they've locked up. You mentioned J-Rod was locked up early. I think, to me, I'm doing these all the
Michael
time.
Harris?
A lot of the Braves were. I think the Strider was, too.
Strider, yep.
Austin Riley. They did it with almost their entire core. I'm a big believer in doing this, and I know that there is some risk. I think the reward outweighs the risk.
Milwaukee just did it because they're always so tight with their cash that the kid they just did it with has never even sniffed the bigs, but it's a risk, to your point. It's the biggest risk reward they can take because they want to hit and have him locked up under the assumption he's going to be good, as opposed to if he is good and they don't do it, you know you're not going to keep it.
6856, Key from L.A., as we know him. Birria tacos or original tacos?
I'll go original tacos.
You can't go wrong.
Right. Either one's an easy win.
I'm the innovator of Taco Tuesday. You give me a taco, I'm going to eat it. I'm going to like it. It kind of depends on the mood. If I can only eat one for the rest of my life, I'm probably going to go original. Because you get the huge variety. You can go flour tortilla. You can go with a crunchy shell. You can go with a corn tortilla if you're eating seafood or barbacoa. So I would probably go original taco over birria tacos, but I'm not mad at you if you're picking birria.
Spitia is what? What's the shell?
It's more that it's like kind of all greasy. It's almost like a quesadilla in a way, but it's more flat. And then you have the dip. The dip's what it's really known for. You can smother it in the dip.
I'm going with the original tacos.
Yeah, they're both very, very good. Brian, you have a preference?
I would go original tacos as well.
Both are very, very good.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad at either, but I would go original taco, like you said, for the variety.
There's a hole in the wall. It's actually a food truck next to a car wash on Rayford. That's unbelievable, Bidia. 8143, do the Cougs make the Final Four, and who would be the toughest team remaining to stop them?
You want to answer that first?
I'm going to start answering this like I'm a coach. Like, I'm just going to give you the coach speak of it. We're taking it one game at a time. The team that is the toughest remaining team to stop us is the next one, which in this case is the Duke Blue Devils, first ever matchup between Houston and Duke in history.
Except I'm going to start. The Chronicle said there was a secret matchup.
Oh, that's right. It wasn't a secret, but it was a scrimmage that was not open to the public. So, yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot that they had done that a couple of years ago with Shire. It was after Coach K.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm just going to start coach speaking all the Cougs questions because I think it's funny. What do you think?
Look, I was listening to you guys and didn't have a chance to chime in on what happened last night, but I think that the testament is that Kelvin Sampson is one of the best coaches in the country, and he's going to find a way to game plan for every matchup. So that's why I never count the Cougs out. I really feel for the entire squad, because if they had their depth, if they didn't have the injuries that they're dealing with, that doesn't happen last night or even get close to it. And there's a lot of different options he's got for no matter what the team that he's playing brings to the table, a 7-footer, a big front line, all those things. I am concerned about the depth going forward. I think that's the only reason why that they're vulnerable, and the fact that, you know, as well as they score, that, you know, because of the injuries, you can't afford to have one of your top three guards that shoot the ball so well get in foul trouble.
The injuries and the depth are, well, it's not, I mean, it's the depth, really, because the injuries, you're not fixing the injuries.
Right. And everybody has them, so it's not fair to say that.
Yeah, and the depth thing, too, like, your depth could not have been more tested than it was yesterday.
No question.
Could not have been more tested. And somehow you overcame that and won. Now foul trouble is critical.
Dare I say, Jeremy, that I was thinking about this. And even with UConn and some of the teams that have some depth, if you lose four of your five starters that foul out,
unbelievable.
Tell me how many of the highly ranked teams in the country are going to survive that. If Purdue loses Edie and
Sharp fouled out early overtime, and then Chet fouled out with 18 seconds to play. So, like, you didn't have all four out for the entire overtime period. It got there.
Wasn't there more time left for Shed?
No, it was 18 seconds.
Well, that call annoyed the hell out of me.
Did it? I haven't watched that part of the game.
The replay, looking back on it,
just like a little.
He thought that it was a shove from behind, and when you look at it, I don't think that there was any kind of follow through at all. He might have, as a guide, had the hand there, but normally you see the body move or something like that. I thought that was a ticky tack.
What'd you think of the jump ball?
It was awful.
Okay,
it was absolutely awful, and the amount of time normally with a jump ball. I guess the kind of, you know, ref's mind is supposed to be like 3 seconds where there's at least stopped ball with hands on it from both teams. The fact that was such a bang-bang play and he just immediately jump ball, it's like, are you kidding me? Like, there wasn't a chance to even have that ball tied up and stopped with both hands from each opponent on the ball for that long. That was brutal.
Yeah.
The one thing that really, the one real quick, because I like I said, I missed
of course.
But the other thing that really bothered me was, and I think that this is probably why both sides are arguing, but there was everybody complaining about the officials. Consistency from a coaching playing standpoint, as you know, is all about call it a certain way. If you're going to let them play like you did in the first half, then let them play the whole game.
I don't think they let them play in the first half. A&M shot like 25 free throws.
I understand that point of it, but I'm saying when you looked at some of the replays on both sides, bodies are flying all over, guys are shoving all over, and especially in the trenches and stuff, you're letting a lot of things go. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden in the final, like, 5 minutes or less, you decided to call everything.
Like it stopped on a dime.
Yeah, and you just can't do that. It's unfair to the players and the coaches and the game itself.
Ocho, this is a good one. On a plane, would you rather sit next to a crying baby, sit next to someone who smells, or sit next to a very large person?
I would take the baby.
Mine's easy. I'm going baby, too.
I'm going baby because I can put on noise-canceling headphones and get rid of the noise. The other two things, there's no way around it.
I'm going to go next to a crying baby.
Is there overhang? Like, because if the big person...
I think a very large person, you can...
But a very large person still has to fit between the armrests or to where if you
When
find
does that ever
spot,
happen? When does a very large person ever fit between the armrest?
Well, I think they fit up against it.
They muff it over.
Yeah, you're probably right. The headphones is the way to go. I've got stories on that. I can't tell on the air, obviously, but Yeah, there's been some people that have fought that.
Texture Bo, when are we going to get a remote show? North Area Woodlands, Conrad would love that. As soon as you sell it, Texture Bo. ALCS rematch. Lorenzen changed things, ask 1067. Maybe an ALCS rematch. I don't think Lorenzen's an upgrade to what they have. Lorenzen's not like a game changer, though. Mm-mm.
No, he's not going to be a dominant top three of the rotation guy that you can say is going to take you places. He's a filler because they have so many holes to fill right now, and they don't have the depth of even, you know, anybody, let alone the Astros with all the depth and starting pitching that they have for options as we get into the season. And they needed somebody because, as we know, their starters weren't great before, even when they started going to get Scherzer and DeGrom and the guys they got in Montgomery.
6383, how many minutes do you expect Ramon Walker to have against Duke? Again, I'm answering these like coaches. Uh-huh. It's the bit that we're going to do. As many minutes as necessary to win the game.
Well, I thought that, you know, it was Wise with such a big lead in the first game that they were going to get him kind of some mm-hmm. run. And then he didn't play against A&M, and it was a tighter game. And then to throw him in there, he came up with some big-time rebounds and plays for that squad that maybe, you know, it depends on how the game goes again. Now yeah. Kelvin has even more confidence now that he's got some run under his belt that he can put him in there and that he's able to play. So I think you'll probably see more from him. I'd say in and around 10 minutes.
My favorite five plays from that game yesterday, the offensive putback was one of my favorite five. The Ryan Elvin free throw is one of my favorite five. The Jamal Shedd putback dunk.
Oh, my God.
One of my favorite five.
That was incredible. Phenomenal.
Unbelievable. That was awesome. I lost my
mind.
His mom's
reaction was priceless.
I saw that on Twitter. It was awesome.
Yeah. They showed his parents a ton with the shirts.
Yeah.
Who knows? And then my fourth one was the Emmanuel Sharp dive save ball in the corner.
Like the bounce save.
The bounce save. Unbelievable play. Yep.
Is that the one where Shedd high fives him on his way back down the court?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I didn't realize the high five.
He didn't side fived him, like squatted him on the back, and they were coming up.
Yeah, he waited for Clark to get up, and then as Clark passed him, he gave him a pat.
He's like,
you can clearly see on camera that Shedd says something to him, and then they go down the court.
And then my fifth favorite play was the first possession of overtime, where Roberts dove into the score, into the table, over the table, saved it to Shedd. Shedd kicked it to Sharp. Sharp hit the three. I think it was the first points of overtime after Ada made this improbable run. Everything's going against you. All the momentum's going against you. You make a great hustle play, lead to a three, you lead an OT, and you never trail again.
Maybe you mentioned it, but when he went to Walker right away, the first offensive rebound he gets was a key possession, and they missed the shot, and he came out of nowhere in traffic to get the rebound. And reset the possession, and they reset the clock.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, already Kelvin pressed the right button. I mean, he's already contributing at a major point in the game. Was phenomenal.
Yeah. Nate and Seabrook says, I'm disappointed in you guys. No one mentioned Carlos Correa when talking about the best offensive shortstops in baseball. Because he ain't.
He ain't one
of the best offensive shortstops in baseball.
Made. But, yeah, I mean, he didn't have a great year.
But he wasn't in 2023.
Yeah. Okay, this Aggie says it was a physical game. We Aggies lost because we couldn't make a free throw or Shedd smothered Taylor, etc. Pick an excuse. Either way, it's in the books. Move on, Aggs. Go Cougs. I have so much respect for that basketball team. I love the Aggie basketball
team. Buzz is a really good coach.
I think that team was really stinking good. Way better than a 9 seed. So much respect for that team. And it was mutual respect, too. You could see it in the handshake line after all that. They had a, you know, they were better than a 9 seed, in my opinion. It was a classic March Madness game.
And the athleticism that A&M, I don't think, gets enough credit for, but all their guards and their wings, like, can get up on you and get right up into you and defend, and they're long. Man, that was impressive. That A&M team at full strength is impressive.
713-780-3776. Richard, question for the Killer Bee, 713-780-3776. This is not so much a question, but not sure if you've covered this, but Atascocita High School boys track team broke the U.S. high school record in the 4x100 relay that stood for 25 years prior to this past weekend.
Wow.
I saw the replay of this. Yeah. Unbelievable. It would have been the second fastest time in college this year.
Woo!
They broke the high school record, would have been the second fastest time in Division I NCAA this year. Congratulations.
I would hope the U of H track team is knocking on the door, as well as lots of others that have big-time scholarships.
That was my old stomping grounds. I didn't go to Atascocita because it wasn't
because
around yet.
Because you weren't fast enough?
No, because I wasn't old enough. Atascocita, or I wasn't young enough. Atascocita is younger than me. What was I going to say? Oh, they breed athletes. This is why I should have won the fight. against Lopez. I'm not upset about that at all. All right, 713-780-3776. Thanks for participating with our Mailbag Monday. I had this thought. I don't know what made me think of this. But who is the better coach relative to their sport? Ime Udoka or D'Amico Ryans? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, we know tis the season. We've got all the madness of March. We've got everything going on in sports these days. The one thing that you want to do with all this sports on television and all your access to watching and listening and seeing games is to be able to bet on it. Well, how about a one-stop shop that has everything for you at one stop on the internet? All you got to do is go see the people at mybookie.ag. Their website is unbelievable. You can take your viewing experience to the next level. Real-time live betting that lets you stream and bet the games right from the website. It's phenomenal. And right now you can take advantage of a generous welcome bonus on your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. You put $200 in, they'll put an extra $100 on top of it, so there's $300 ready to play instantly when you use the promo code that we tell you about, bet975. And the fun doesn't stop there. You get up-to-the-minute odds, prop bets, and this week's expert predictions to help you decide who you want to bet on when the games are actually played. We know that Friday and Thursday, as well as Saturday and Sunday, are going to be full of basketball, as well as NBA and golf and all the other sports going on. And you need a spot that is going to keep your money safe while you have all the opportunities to cash in on bonuses. That's mybookie.ag. Go to mybookie.ag right now. Even if you get a friend to sign up, you get a bonus. You get a bonus, you get like Oprah. You get a bonus, you get a bonus. Just go to the website and use the promo code to get the bonus. Mybookie.ag, use that promo code bet975. And as I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag, promo code bet975.